Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed to the king, or of the king, to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so, that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, go in peace. And he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women which were concubines to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was afar off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Kerethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God, and they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city, If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, Art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came out to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city, and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, quite a return of the kindness that David has showed to Absalom we have here. Absalom shows himself to be a man thoroughly impressed with himself, thoroughly out for Absalom, and not for the good of the kingdom, nor in accordance with the commandments of the Lord. Notice that it's very interesting. The first verse in the chapter tells us what Absalom is all about. Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Who did that? Absalom. Absalom had men prepared to run before himself. No one rose up within the king's house and said, Absalom, you should have men to run before you. Absalom rose up and said, I should have men to run before me. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. It is as if Absalom says, I'm tired of talking about me for a while. Y'all talk about me for a while. Right? Absalom is pressing his abilities, his skill, his authority. Oh, that I were judge in Israel. I would do everyone rightly. Oh, did the king say that to you? Oh, if I were king, if I were the judge, well, you'd be in favor. You'd really get what you need. You see, there's some lack in my father David. Maybe he's too busy. Maybe he's well-intentioned, but, you know, he's just not there. He's not there for you, is he? Well, I will be there for you. And so with words such as these, smooth and self-serving words, it says that Absalom stole the hearts of the people. Well, there are two sins there. We often focus on the one, on what Absalom did. But let's focus also upon the people for having hearts so easily stolen. They didn't see a stratagem. they were too enamored with his attention. You know, I actually got to speak to the king's son today. And he spoke favorably to me. And oh, how good it must have made them feel. So we have a twofold wrongdoing here. We have Absalom eroding his father's authority and gathering it to himself. And we have a people that are all too happy to have that authority upon Absalom because he's promised them stuff. Any of this sounding familiar yet? Did we just pray about such things? We as a people must be enamored with those who will tell us what is good, what is right, even if it's hard. Children, sometimes your parents have hard things to say to you. We have this concept in our society today that whenever someone says to us something that's hard, and let's define hard, it wasn't what I wanted, that they're being mean-spirited, that they're just mean, that when I don't get what I want, it's because somebody's being mean to me. Ultimately, this is a slap in God's face. Oh, God has not provided for you in a way that you think you should be provided for. And you know what? I want to agree with you. God has not given you a king that meets all your needs. Let me meet your needs instead. When you strip away the layers, the stench of the onion comes, right? This is what's going on here with Absalom. He's promoting himself. He is demoting his father's authority. And the people, well, they're in love with him. So it says then, after 40 years, I think that means after Absalom's 40th year, Absalom is 40 years old. Not that he was 40 years returned from Geshur. I think it means that he's 40 years old at this point. He says to his father David, I'm going to go over to Hebron. He picks Hebron well. That is where David was anointed king. I'm going to go over to Hebron because I promised the Lord while I was on the lam, while I was out in Geshur, that if he returned me to my estate, that I would serve him. And so I have a sacrifice to offer there. I have a vow to perform. And so he is using a pious enterprise to do a wicked thing. You realize that that can be done? You realize that the pious, the most pious acts of men, the most godly seeming externally acts of men can be the most sinful that they do. Remember when Simeon and Levi came up with a stratagem against the men of Shechem? You remember what they did? You can't have Dinah to be your wife because you're not like us. You need to be circumcised first. Now, after you're circumcised, then we'll be your people, you'll be our people, we'll be like one people. And so they used a stratagem of circumcision. They took the sacrament of the Lord and they used it against the men of Shechem because on the second day while they were still sore, they came when they could not fight and they killed them. Absalom here says, well, I have a sacrifice to perform in Hebron. Yes, words are smooth as butter, but it's war in his heart, isn't it? Beware then of making religious excuses for sin. Beware then of using ordinances or actually misusing or abusing them for unholy ends. This is not uncommon among the people of God. We have seen the Lord's Supper used as a tool, haven't we? By wicked sessions and by people acting wickedly, the Lord's Supper can be used as a tool to bludgeon or as a means of separation. Beware of using God's holy things for wicked ends. Absalom says, oh, I have a sacrifice. Surely no one would deny me this pious act. And yet he goes to Hebron with a different plan in mind. And so he set his spies in the land. And they're all over the place. And so he says, we're going to blow a trumpet. And when that trumpet is blown, then you'll all say, God save the king, King Absalom. Right? Absalom reigns in Hebron. So the rebellion is strong. This is very, very interesting. In verse 13, a messenger comes to David and he says, the hearts of men of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Now, I don't know if it struck you, but in the reading of this chapter and thinking about it this week, didn't it kind of strike you strange that there is no shock or surprise in David? You think David saw it coming? It's possible that he did. Quite possible that he did. I mean, the text doesn't tell us, so we don't want to be dogmatic on such things. But it's certainly an interesting reaction that the king has when a messenger comes to him and says, the hearts of men of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let's get out of here. It's as if he was expecting it. Of course, David is mindful of the sin with Bathsheba, isn't he? He's mindful that this is part of the chastisement that the Lord had said he would bring upon his house, that the sword would not depart from his house, that his enemy would have his concubines before the sun. And so David arises. Interesting, I don't hear a word of complaint. I hear, let's go. Let's go. And so David goes, and he has an entourage of 600 men. Some of them are foreigners. They're not Jerusalemites. They're not Israelites. Some of them are foreigners, and they're following him out of the city. What a wondrous thing that must have been to David. Here he has been put out of the kingdom by his own son, his own flesh and blood. Now, we will never doubt in Scripture David's love for Absalom. It is clear, it is palpable. It is, as one guy has said, so thick you could cut it with a knife. David loves Absalom. And to have the son of his love strike against him like this certainly must have been devastating to the king. And yet he goes without complaint. He goes forth. Certainly in this low time for David, it must have been a great encouragement to have 600 men go with him. That show of loyalty in a time of difficulty, and let's not underplay that. When your friends and brethren are undergoing difficulties, a show of loyalty to them is of great value, of great service. And what an encouragement it must have been to David. Notice Ittai. What a guy. Ittai, the Gittite, he's from where? He's from Gath. These men have come from Gath with David. Although David stayed in Gath for a time, when David came into his own, they followed him. So much did they love him and appreciate him, they came with him out of Gath. Ittai, it seems, was a latecomer, hadn't been there very long. And so David goes out, and Ittai goes with him, and David turns to him and he says, Ittai, you know, you're about to embark on a very dangerous mission here. We're going out into the wilderness. It's not going to be comfortable. This is not like coming home with me to Jerusalem and living in the palace. I don't know what's going to befall me. I don't know what's going to befall any of us that are leaving Jerusalem today. Ittai, return. You've only been with us a few days. This loyalty is commendable, but not required. Oh, Ittai, he says, wherever you're going, that's where I'm going. Out of all the people and places on the face of the earth, David, I want to be with you. We're going to pass over with you wherever you go. You stay in Jerusalem, we'll stay. You pass over Kidron, we'll pass over with you. Such friends are hard to find. Such a good friend Ittai is to David in that case. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, and should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my king liveth, my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or in life, there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. go and pass over. Dear friend. It's great to have friends like that. And what an encouragement the Lord provided to David through men like Ittai. So they passed over in the way of the wilderness. It was a courageous and selfless thing that David did, leaving the city. You have to understand that. Courageous and selfless. David spares the people of Jerusalem a war, a battle in the city by doing so. Although David had every right to stay and probably could have defeated Absalom, he leaves. And he leaves in order to save many alive. And that is a type of Christ. He goes outside the gate to save. He leaves the war behind him. All right, so then Zadok comes out. This is loyalty. Zadok the high priest and Abiathar, bearing the Ark of the Covenant, they come out. David, this young upstart son of thine, this wicked man, he has no right to the seals. He has no right. And what does David say? Well, Absalom may or may not have a right. Jerusalem is the place for God's name. Jerusalem is the place where God dwells. We're not going to set up another city in his name. The Lord has chosen Zion. The ark belongs there. What an honorable, honorable thing for David to do. Rather than to start a new religion, rather than to place another church, if you will, David says what? No. Jerusalem. That's where the Lord belongs. That's where his worship belongs. If the Lord please, he'll bring me home again. And if he doesn't, whatever he wants, whatever he desires. This is a great man. This is a man that has resigned himself wholly, not in despair or depression, but with great faithfulness to whatever the Lord would desire for him. He doesn't know how to complain. He doesn't know how to curse God. There are 600 men at his disposal, and yet he will not go back. He sends the ark back instead. David is no schismatic. All right, so then he turns, the ark goes back, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olives and wept as he went and had his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. Of course, for a man to cover his head like that, it's a sign of shame and great remorse. It's a sign of humility and abasement. And so David leaves the city barefoot and covered. A man that has been shamed out of the city. And yet David does not pursue for his own honor, does he? He goes forth in humility. All right, so then the last portion, one told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators. Ahithophel is among the conspirators. And David prays. Boy, I didn't know how it was so late. I'm sorry. David prays, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. David prays. And right after that, Hushai the Archite comes on the scene as an answer to David's prayer. And we'll see, not in the next chapter, but in the one after that, how Hushai the Archite does, by the counsel of the Lord, overthrow the good counsel of Ahithophel in David's favor. So the answer to David's prayer is found in that Hushai the Archite arrives on the scene immediately after David prays that the Lord would turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Let's stand then and continue praising God.